Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
What the progressive saw was an unparalleled opportunity to sow chaos and to push for their vision of essentially, let's cut through the nice language, a culturally Marxist society.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So, I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day, with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious, plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be two times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
Well, no, I don't. I don't think there is sufficient information to know about why he targeted that synagogue, why he insisted on the release of someone who's been in prison for over 10 years, why he was engaged, why he was using anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli comments. We just don't have enough facts.
How do you not have enough facts? I have an idea. Yeah. Maybe it's because the dude's a terrorist. Oh, that was a mile and a half from my house, by the way. Not very far from Kane either.
Right.
It was like in our backyard. I know exactly where that is. Welcome to the show. It's Monday, ladies and gentlemen. I enjoy joining you to start off our week. We have a lot to discuss this morning. We do. We have a lot. The afternoon. It's afternoon now. We have a lot to discuss. It's been a fast day so far. This is kind of crazy. So that was the president just speaking yesterday on this, the issue that took place in Colleyville, Texas, which is actually more towards Fort Worth than it is Dallas. But it was an act of terror. I don't know how else there's no other way to describe it. And why would you try? This crazy dude who's a British citizen came to the United States and decided to FAFO, and he got flashbanged by the SWAT team who bust up and shot him. So there you go. Thank you, SWAT team. Mm-hmm. We appreciate your efforts, SWAT team, and the Colleyville PD. We appreciate you. Thankfully, none of the hostages were injured. And I was reading this piece. Let me pull this up. I think it was Telegraph. There's like 4,000 different things I was reading about this today. The point being is that I was looking at this piece where they interviewed the brother of this dude, whose name I'm not going to say. They wanted to get this terrorist broad released from prison. Apparently, that's what the terrorist wanted to do. And the brother was like, we're just so sad. You know, he actually said our first priority is just getting him back to Britain, his body back to Britain. I would think your first priority is maybe saying a prayer for the victims that your stupid terrorist anti-Semitic brother decided to terrorize these people who, thankfully, they made it through this hostage event, but not probably without a severe dose of PTSD. Maybe your first priority should be saying a prayer for the community your brother terrorized and the people that he took hostage. Maybe that should be your first priority. No one gives a rat's ass how you want to get your dead terrorist brother's worm-feeding corpse back to the UK. Really have. Am I supposed to feel sorry for terrorists and talk about them in flowery language?
No.
No, okay. I didn't think so. There you go. Yeah, nobody cares what is. It's just, but here's what gets me. At first, he was like, "Well, we don't have a." Biden was saying we don't have enough information. The FBI actually tried to say that too. They actually tried to say that. They wanted to set any last bit of credibility, which they don't have, on fire. Apparently, according to FBI's Matt DiSarno, he looks like a frat bruh. Matt DiSarno looks like he kicked back a few and then was like, well, I guess I better go address the press. That's the situation. I don't care if you're mad. He was at the, he told the press, he goes, well, it's not related to the Jewish community. You mean he just like, this guy just like randomly decided to pick a synagogue? And then he demanded that that rabbi call a rabbi in New York because they wanted this ugly terrorist broad to be released. I mean, I am full of invectives about this chick. Oh, you didn't know that? No. Apparently, he had called that. He told that rabbi to call another rabbi about it. And the chick who, I'll tell you about the crazy terrorist chick who's in jail. But this guy's like, he comes out, Matt DiSarno. Well, it's not related to the Jewish community. I mean, oh, hang on, let me do his voice because it's fun. He's like, I mean, it's just like, he just randomly targeted some Jews. Okay, go ahead and play it.
We do believe from our engagement with this subject that he was singularly focused on one issue, and it was not specifically related to the Jewish community.
Oh.
But we're continuing to work to find motive.
It wasn't now, right?
And we will continue on that path.
Are you kidding me? That's insane. The FBI. But, you know, parents are terrorists. What a clown show. So they, and the AP and all these other outlets immediately, I mean, I'm just curious, did Hamas give him his talking points? Did Hamas give Matt DiSarno his talking points? Really sucks when your name's out there, doesn't it? I mean, the hostage taker wanted the release of an Al-Qaeda terrorist, Afia Sadiq. And during her trial, by the way, she wanted to dismiss her lawyers and she demanded DNA testing of the jury so she could prove that they weren't Jews. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert. I had a friend of mine who wrote a piece over Twitchy. They're like, we're not experts about holding Jews hostage to free a woman, but yeah, it sure sounds like it was all about the terrorists having an issue with the Jewish community. I mean, he only walked into a synagogue, held a rabbi and others hostage, and then demanded the release of a terrorist broad who wanted to make sure that her jury and attorneys didn't have any kind of Jewish ancestry. Sort of sounds like they got issues with the Jewish community. I mean, so it had, I mean, let's just run down the list. So it was a terrorist with Al-Qaeda associations on a Saturday, Shabbos, in a synagogue holding Jewish hostages to free a terrorist who hates Jewish people. Kind of, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's a connection to the Jewish community here.
Not enough evidence.
It might be a little too, it might be a bit early to rule out anti-Semitism here, but, or as Ilhan Omar would say, some guy did something.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's funny. The FBI finally had to walk it back and say, well, okay, yeah, they're terrorists. They walked it back. Biden hasn't yet.
No, he actually said it was an act of terror.
He said it was an act of terror later.
Yeah.
But, you know, terrorism is apparently white supremacy. So I think he needs to be a little bit specific. I don't know. Why can't the left admit that there's a major problem with the people that they like to, you know, white knight for going after the Jewish community? Why can't they admit that this is a major problem? I was thinking about this. I hope that they're able to get some security because I can't imagine. No one should ever be afraid to worship freely in this country. I'm more than happy to take my 308 and stand outside the doors of that synagogue and while they're inside worshiping on Saturday. I'm happy to do it. Ain't nobody coming near me. Nobody gonna come near me. So, I was just amazed when I watched some of this. The FBI finally decided to walk it back. Speaking of the FBI and the significance of today, the FBI's had a problem for a long time. Never watching the right people, apparently, because maybe the FBI, I mean, first off, you know, this dude, this terrorist, was someone who came in from Britain, was able to get a gun, had all of these, he had a criminal record. And I will give credit where credit's due. Biden at least said he was asked about gun control. And he's like, well, you're not going to be able to stop someone going on the street and getting a gun from somebody else on the street. That actually is a correct statement. That was unintentional honesty from him. But how was this guy able to get into the United States with his criminal record and all of his terror associations? This is like the exact type of terrorist that the FBI and everybody else is supposed to be watching. But maybe it's because they're too busy watching parents who protest at school board meetings and redefining them as terrorists. Maybe that's why they struggled so much to say that this guy was actually a terrorist. They've had a long problem with this. The FBI is not supposed to be this political entity, but they've been a political entity for quite some time. On the significance of this day, it's the observance of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And, of course, obviously, he was assassinated in the evening of 1968. U2 gets it wrong in the song, by the way, In the Name of Love. Great song, but it was actually in the evening before he was going to go speak. It was a garbage worker strike. And he had been in Nashville. He was standing up on the second floor of his balcony, and that's when he was shot and killed. But, and I've been there. It's crazy to when you actually go to places where something serious took place, and it's just crazy. If it's like a sunny day, or if it's like partially modernized, it's just weird the way that, I mean, it's the way history happens at a certain place, and the world spins on. It's always bizarre to me. And the crazy thing about this whole thing, and I had remember when I had made mention some time ago that Martin Luther King Jr. had been denied a concealed carry permit. And when I said that about 5-6 years ago, the left lost their ever-loving minds. They lost their minds. And they got so mad. Of course, them getting mad didn't make it any less true. But you realize also that the left loves using government agencies to spy on people. And those same government agencies also wiretapped and surveilled and spied on Martin Luther King Jr. The FBI was, this is public knowledge. They wanted to discredit him. And so they worked in this, they worked on this huge, huge, huge secret campaign to delegitimize Martin Luther King Jr. and what he was doing. The fear is that even though there was no indication that he was going to do so, was that he could perhaps align himself with the Communist Party. Because you have to think about some of the multi-demo liberation theologies and the association with communism, and that communists were trying to reach out to different groups. And this is really the underpinnings of CRT to advance that thought, right? And J. Edgar Hoover really wanted to make his name on destroying all of that. And that's not to say that there wasn't communist plots in the United States. There absolutely was. But King was misunderstood to be a part of that. He was a Christian, and he was totally imperfect. There's all kinds of stories about his behavior privately. Of course, you know, one of the greatest apologists for the Christian faith was a guy who killed more Christians than you could probably think of. And he was met on the road of Damascus. So let's be careful when we're denying grace. But, and it's not about the person, it's about who's called, correct? I mean, if you're a Christian, you're going to acknowledge that. Got a lot of fake Christians out there, though. So this surveillance warfare that was waged against Martin Luther King Jr. is not unlike what we've been seeing from these departments today. There were all of these newly declassified files that were FOIA'd. This guy named Sam Pollard, he did this documentary, and he got all of this extensive surveillance of King and everyone King came into contact with in the 60s. It started with wiretaps. And they found out that he had had affairs. Like I said, he's not a perfect person. No one's claiming that he's perfect. We're not gonna engage in ergo decido, though, with the message. But they followed him, and they were going to try to invalidate his specific message by invalidating him and delegitimizing him, toxifying him. And the FBI was very much involved in that. This is an uncomfortable part of American history that, regardless of your politics, you should acknowledge. Because all of that stuff that was done back then has still happened since then, all throughout the decades. And it's happening right now. And it's being waged against moms and dads who simply want to make sure that their kids are actually being educated and not brainwashed. People make a big deal out of New Year's resolutions, but I want you to commit to one today. Resolve to do something that will help get this country back on the right track, like supporting causes and companies that share our values. So, of course, you know, I'm proud to work with my friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. They offer broad nationwide coverage, and in fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers, so you get the same great nationwide coverage. Plus, you get peace of mind that your money isn't supporting the progressive left. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veterans and first responders, and more. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Resolve to do something that will help get this country back on the right track. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Gosh, Simple Minds, why are you so good? Why are you such a good band? I don't know. I could sit here and have a Clarkson kind of conversation about that all day long. All right, where did I go? Where did I go? Where am I? Just turned into Joe Biden. Omicron may actually be a blessing in disguise for Britain's economic recovery. It's kind of interesting. They're saying, so the whole point of this is they're saying that the less severe variant is inspiring optimism that that they're in the COVID endgame. That's what they're saying. So this, that's actually a really good point. And that's also kind of reflected here in the U.S. also. I don't like this headline. Bureau of Land Management is awarding $11 million to study birth control methods for wild horses and burros. Well, yeah, it's horses and mules. That's our money. I would like to do other things with our money besides study. How do they make babies? How do the horses have babies? We are Bureau of Land Management here in the United States. The government is, thank heavens. So this is why I'm happy when government shuts down, because the stopgap measure is funding this. So it's the Department of Interior's Bureau of Land Management, $11 million in anticipated research grants to study birth control methods for wild horses. Oh my gosh. Including, get this, tubal ligation, sterilization, and IUD devices. Maybe you guys could stop. Just don't. Maybe let ranchers deal with it, right? Why don't you just all back off? All these bureaucrats ain't never even ridden a horse, much less understand anything about land management. Why don't y'all just let the farmers and ranchers deal with this? Because I'm going to guarantee you those people are going to understand how best to handle this issue than some government white bread bureaucrat ensconced in his ivory tower in D.C. Oh my heavens. And the way that they, you know, that they euthanize these wild horses, don't get me started, because I'm going to end up like some kind of animal protester out there in the desert. So what's going to happen? The New Republic, so desperate to nationalize voting, actually ran a story about how even the Confederacy embraced non-citizen voting. Not kidding you. This is what this, these are the links to which they are descending, folks. So coming up, we got vaccine stuff, tennis vaccine stuff, and the latest with Media Mad at Glenn Youngkin, also the Texas rabbi, so much more. Stay with us. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
America, I'm here to tell you there's one simple thing you can do to make this whole virus go away. Stop seeing Spider-Man. Just stop seeing Spider-Man. Okay, think about it. When does Spider-Man come out? December 17th. When did every single person get Omicron the week after December 17th?
Jeez. You know what? It's actually kind of true. That's SNL. Yeah. Welcome back to the show. Good to be with you guys this Monday. I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend and is rested, ready to start the week. DanaLash.com. Sign up for that newsletter. I'll be on Fox this evening, Fox Primetime, 6 p.m. Eastern. SNL finally made fun of him. Sorry, that's 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. And I have a couple of other headlines related to that. New CBS poll, not good for Joe. Chuck Todd savaged him over his failing presidency. Street art is now mocking him. It's bad. Democrats are demoralized. They're blaming each other over the filibuster fallout. Hillary Clinton's rubbing her little wrinkled hands together. She's so excited to make another go. Maybe. I just don't see it happening. The one thing that she can do that no one else can do, though, is that she can fundraise. Clintons can still fundraise. And that's why they're not going to be excommunicado forever. Because for some reason, they can still convince people to give them money, which is insane to me. Yeah. You know, I'm floored. That's how bad it is. They don't have a bench either. Who are they going to get? Amy Klobuchar, who was raging about how Ukraine needed to be helped, but yet at the same time, she literally voted against sanctions last week that would have helped Ukraine. Sanctions against Russia, Nord Stream 2, removing their status as a transit country and part of Russia's energy structure and destabilizing further the relationship with Germany and part of NATO. Really? Her? The lady who ate her salad with a hair thing, right? Isn't that what I have to understand? Yeah. Or what about the disgraced governor? From ex-governor from New York. That's the guy on their bench. They don't have a bench. It's weird. Democrats have not been playing the long game. They've been just trying to survive. Meanwhile, I really want you to pay attention to this. And I hit this. It's going to happen at some point. There's going to be some kind of, I think collision is too strong a word. There's going to be a meeting at some point of these two thoughts. First off, you need to realize that the media is desperately trying to bait a Trump versus DeSantis fight. Desperately. And there are some people who call themselves Republicans that are not helping, that are dumb enough to take this bait. It's stupid. I wrote about this in my newsletter this morning. This is stupid. And this idea that you have to pledge allegiance to someone else over someone else is the most un-American thing I've ever heard of. We have a great bench. Why can't we just brag about that? But this is what the left wants us to do. And there are people who are like, all right. I've seen it happening. There are people I know that are trying to fan, that are friends of mine, trying to fan this flame. Why? Do not buy this nonsense. Here's the thing. Only Trump knows if he's going to run or not. I saw this piece from Axios where they're saying, oh, Trump is mad that DeSantis won't say that he won't run against him, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. First off, because it's Axios. And secondly, that doesn't sound like a... I've known Trump for over a decade. I've known him personally over a decade. When I was still just a St. Louis radio host, he was on my show. So, and he was on it regularly. That sounds like a very anti-Trumpian thing. Because that's bad strategy. That's just crap strategy. I think that they would want it to be as vague as possible. They don't want any of that to be. There was the soundbite that they had yesterday, and this is all they have to go on, where Trump made a comment where it was some politicians who didn't reveal their vaccination statuses, and he said that they were gutless. And then he was saying, you know, there have been lives saved by the vaccines. Here's the thing. You realize that you can simultaneously believe, and I look, you guys know, I think it's a therapeutic and not actually anything that induces immunity. That being said, because you have to spell things out because everything is stupid today. That being said, you can believe that vaccines help people that have comorbidities and can aid those symptoms, while also simultaneously believing that the government should not force this stuff. You can believe both of these things at the same time. And so when he said this, people, and by people, I mean MSNBC and CNN and Vox and the like, they were saying, oh, that's a pot shot at Ron DeSantis, which didn't make sense even at the time that they were saying that. It didn't make sense that that was a pot shot at Ron DeSantis, because DeSantis has literally talked about his vaccination status before. And he was saying that he thinks the elderly and people who are dealing with life-threatening diseases, that they should, he believed that they should get vaccinated, but it's their choice. I mean, people forget, by the way, that there was this whole thing on 60 Minutes where they were trying to accuse him of giving preferential treatment to like the villages and stuff. Right. I mean, it was crazy. So I think that that's such a stretch to assume that Trump was talking about DeSantis. But the New York Times and MSNBC were really pushing this narrative. And then they put out, you had Maggie Haberman, who's at the New York Times. She had all these tweets where she was saying that Trump was mad that DeSantis has refused to rule out a 2024 run. Now, here's the thing. There's some things to understand and then also things that are completely fictional that are very specious in this whole discussion. Trump's greatest, and he and I are not dissimilar in this regard. The thing that he values most about somebody is their loyalty, first and foremost. Secondly, remember what I was saying last week about how all the criticism of his, you know, people were saying that he was mean with his remarks or mean on Twitter. He never actually punched down at voters. He always kept his fights to politicians and other people that were part of the system. So that's not any different than this. I mean, he will always fight like that with people that are in either the system or that are elected officials. And I do think that it is not beyond the realm of possibility that there is some kind of tension between the Trump camp and maybe the DeSantis camp, because if 2024 is a question, there could be some rivalry. But This push that Trump is just out there attacking DeSantis on issues that pull so incredibly well with the majority of Americans is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And it's so anti-Trumpian because it's bad strategy. That's where people jump the shark. I don't even think he's really doing it privately. Like I said, only Trump knows if he's going to run or not. But here's the thing. Even if he doesn't, he can't say that he won't right now. He can't say that he won't, not just for him, but largely, I think, for the party and voters as a whole, because his presence as a questionable contender, if he wants it, is it's kind of like offering protection, not just to the party, because he can fundraise, but it also provides shade to some of these other candidates, because the GOP has a pretty thick bench. We have a bench that's like three rows deep. And him being involved in some of these issues gives shade to these other candidates that would normally be targeted by the glare of the press. You have to think about this. The media wants to convince Republican moderates that Trump hurts the party. But this charge is so weak when you look at polling and voting. No candidate since Nixon has taken more minority votes than Trump during the last two elections. So you can love him, you can hate him, but you are stupid and ignoring fact if you deny that this man has built a coalition and has a shelf life and also an approval rating higher than that of the current president, who, by the way, as we discussed in depth in this CBS report out today, further illustrates this. The left-leaning Quinnipiac put the nail in the coffin of the narrative that Biden was doing well with minorities. Biden's hemorrhaging support with Hispanics and political independents and black voters. So, I mean, to an unbelievable degree. So if Trump chooses whether or not he wants to run, it is super beneficial for the party for him to not reveal it until the last second. And I hope that's what he does. Whatever he decides, I hope that he drags it out. And because chaos, they can't handle the chaos. And like I said, it offers shade for these up and coming candidates. He can raise money. Democrats have no bench. They don't have any kind of focal point in the party to match. And so that's what they've been trying to go after DeSantis. And by the way, DeSantis has taken a lot of heat, but he hasn't had the full glare of the national media as much as Trump and other candidates previously who've announced their intentions on the national stage. That time will come should he choose to do that. And so the way it is right now, he's able to get Florida situated. And at the same time, he's able to really boost limited government chances with voters in Florida in the position that he is in. And Trump is able, I mean, I think that it works well as a 1-2 punch. Now, if Trump chooses not to run, he could be a valuable kingmaker. And he could still, I think, everyone talks about Trumpism like it's a bad thing in the media and that, you know, Reaganism, they did that with Reaganism until they didn't think Reagan was a threat anymore. And they've done it with every single president. They change their tune once they realize they're not a threat. If Trump decides not to run again, they're going to like him. Everybody will go back to liking him again. No joke. But he could, I think the Trumpism thing, depending on what he does or not, and regardless of what he does, I think that that's going to be incredibly influential in the party for a number of years, just like Reaganism was. That's just all there is to it. But don't take that bait. I have some friends out there that have been trying to do. I have some friends that are very loyal to Trump and that I've known him for longer than I've been alive. And, you know, I don't go after my friends who are not politicians. I don't like to go at them publicly, but I will say that I understand that I think they do certain things without the permission or even awareness of Trump. In fact, I know they do. So I think some of what I've been seeing out there, like my friend Roger Stone, God love Roger. I like Roger. I'm not going to ever crap on Roger publicly, because Roger's I've known him for over a decade. But he's loyal to his friends, right? He's out there making sure that everything, you know, he wants to just protect turf. And I'm pretty sure he's probably doing it without Trump ever saying anything. That's just how Roger is. And Roger's always been like that. I don't agree with him, with his viewpoint. And I think that we need to be very careful that we don't try to create animosity between two people where it doesn't exist. Because they've had dinner together before and all that stuff. I want to look at this as we have a 1-2 punch in the Republican Party, and we have a bench in the Republican Party, which is what Democrats don't have. And there is enough problems to go around for everybody to fix. So I think we need to focus on what Democrats don't have instead of turn our positives into some kind of losses here. It's just silly to me. We have more to come, including coming up next hour. We're going to get into some vaccine stuff and the whole tennis thing, which is crazy to me. Australia's nuts. They banned that dude. What's his name? I can't think of his name now. His name totally escapes me. I'm not a tennis person. What was that, Steve? Yes, Novak Djokovic. So he left and is in Dubai now. He got deported. And now they said that he's banned from the entire country for 3 years. This is crazy. We're going to talk about this coming up as well. Don't let winter weather stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink canned espresso mocha drink. Made with coffee-forward flavors, premium ingredients, and 200 milligrams of caffeine per can, it's a convenient way to fuel your next mission. Black Rifle Coffee Company develops explosive roast profiles with the same mission focus learned as military members serving this great nation and are committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. With every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee Company gives back. The best way to enjoy their freedom-filled coffee is with the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, partner discounts, and more. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find out what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
Biden's trying to bully and intimidate people with his... See how angry he gets? Yes, sir. Anger! You've got to listen to me! Listen, where am I? Where am I? Oh, where the hell am I? Where am I? I'm not supposed to be doing this. It's a disgrace.
It was funny. That's from Trump's rally that was in Arizona on Saturday. They had all the media there, and then everyone's like, the media's not paying attention to his rallies anymore. Yet they were all there. Gosh, you guys are morons. These people are morons. Welcome back to the show. Good to be with you this Friday. Okay, so we got a... Everybody in my house was mad. All my friends were mad. I saw a tweet from someone who said that they got mad and broke their television set in front of a bunch of guests, and their wife cried, and they are never going to be a Cowboys fan again forever. Wow. Did you watch the game? I know Steve watched it.
Yeah, I was a little angry, but damn, that's
that seems to be
escalating it quickly.
So the accusation is that they lost after one of the dumbest plays in history. And all I will say is my husband was mad, and I'm pretty sure I heard my stepdad scream his favorite obscenity from St. Louis. But there was 14 seconds were remaining, no timeouts, and it was rough, man. That was I mean, I didn't even exactly know everything that's happening, but I just knew that this isn't good. Whatever I'm seeing on the screen.
Look, anybody that watched that whole game knows that really it was the first three quarters. They could have done anything better than what they actually did.
They said they dialed up a quarterback draw with only 14 seconds left and zero timeouts. Why?
Yeah. Exactly. Why did he run it down the middle of the field when he could have ran out of bounds possibly?
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, it's a little cringe.
All I know is that everybody was mad. My stepdad, because we're from St. Louis, baseball town, originally. We've adopted the Cowboys. And I'm ride or die. Like, you're my team for life, right? I don't care how good you are. I will, you know, that's how it is. So as a result, I never got into football as much as I got into baseball. Like, I got into the Cardinals to where I knew every single thing about every single player ever, right? I had a poster when I was in elementary school. I had a poster of Jack Clark in my bedroom wall. Me, a girl. I had a poster of Jack Clark on my bedroom wall, like craziness, right? I could tell you everything about their families. I knew everything. And my stepdad used to get so mad. I don't even think I can say it on air. It rhymes with Wick and starts with a PR. That's his favorite obscenity. Everything is that. Whether it's a play, a call, whatever. Everything is that. It is a multi-purpose obscenity. And all he does is just say that word. He doesn't say anything else. You know he's mad. Whenever he's in the garage working on cars, because he always does stuff with cars, and he'd have the game going, you'd hear him yell that word and then like a wrench hitting the concrete. That's what you would hear. We have a lot more on the way, folks. Second hour of programming this Monday. We're hanging out with you. Stay with us.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you really, truly want to honor Dr. King, don't dishonor him by using a congressional custom as an excuse for protecting our democracy. We have no right to honor this family, to visit the monument. Imagine 36 years old, left this earth in such a way that he has a monument on the mall along with Abraham Lincoln, George Washington.
You mean the slave owners?
Thomas Jefferson. All of them with tears in their eyes.
The slave owners?
For the departure from our democracy that is happening right now. Unless.
Right, the slave owners.
The truth is acknowledged.
And
this legislation is passed. And with that.
Isn't that what she had said before?
Yeah.
The people who own the slaves?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure that I didn't miss anything, which I know I didn't. It's rhetorical. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So good to be with you this Monday and starting your week out correctly. Nancy Pelosi, who is perpetually surprised, always standing beside two other congressional members, just talking about the filibuster and MLK and using that. That's quite a reach, by the way. Quite a reach. She says that because she is talking about the filibuster and nationalizing elections, but I should say that she says that you can't use this, feature of this institution to do, to protect elections or something like that. She's trying to say that they're using the observance of MLK to do so, which they're not, I really wish we could go back to the Paul Wellstone funeral for discussions about, you remember that, the Paul Wellstone funeral, lawmakers, it was 10 years ago, maybe? Mm-hmm. Paul Wellstone had his visitation and Democrats literally turned it into an electioneering apparatus. I've never seen anything like it. And I come from Southern Missouri, where my family pretends to be Italian in their level of drama at major events like graduations and baby showers and weddings and funerals particularly. In fact, the first time my husband met my grandmother was when he picked her up off the floor because she pretended to faint. And again, at another funeral where we all just stepped over her. I love my granny and all. Loved her. God rest her soul. Don't come haunt me. But, you know, that woman would give a cursory glance around the room and then pretend to faint and fall to the floor. And we just got used to stepping over her. And I had told him, oh my gosh, this is a whole story that I'm going to share at some point. Anyway, long story short, I have seen some things in my day, and that Paul Wellstone funeral, it was like watching members of my family on steroids. I mean, the way that they were using it to electioneer. So, and Nancy Pelosi was one of them. So no, I'm just not going to take any kind of lectures on that from her, or anybody who was there and participated in that. Not at all. But I do think, wait, do we like Washington and Jefferson and Lincoln and all them again? Or no? I mean, Lincoln didn't own slaves, but Washington and Jefferson did. And we're supposed to hate them because of that, right? Even though Washington had his whole thing structured to have this was their mindset, by the way. I can't believe this has to be explained, but we have not only an economic illiteracy in our nation, but now as we see from people who are coming out of the brainwashing institutions that are the rackets that we call universities, we apparently have a major historical illiteracy in the country as well. Long story short, the reason why people weren't, and you don't have to agree or disagree with it, that doesn't change the fact that it existed. That's so let's be smart and recognize these are two separate things. But with the founders, the reason why, and this was something that they had discussed in correspondence and Washington had later noted as well, that the reason why they didn't have immediately make it to where everyone was free at the founding of the United States was because there was a significant number of people who would have made that impossible had that happened. They were all about being free from the crown, but they would have actually fought for division from the other founders and the rest of the colonies had that been banned outright. And so the way it was structured, and Washington even noted this, they basically had it to where when they were creating our founding documents, they were anticipating that this was going to be a legal fight in the future, and they were trying to make it to where it could be changed as expeditiously as possible with regards to recognition within the Constitution. And you can say that you disagree with what they were doing and that no one should have been sacrificed at the altar of forming our perfect union. But that's just the way they approached it. And Washington, upon his death, had everything in his estate structure to where everyone was freed upon his death. And the reason why he did not free everyone while he was still alive is because it would have been impossible. And this was a letter that he'd written this to Ben Franklin. I can't remember whom, but I actually have in one of the thrilling books that I have on Washington, that he had it structured to where everyone would be free upon his death. And he was very, very concerned about the treatment and well-being of the people who had worked for him. If he would have released them while they were alive, they would not have been able to get work anywhere else. And then there was ongoing persecution of Black Americans at that time. So that was the whole mindset about it. It's not a CRT thing. They knew it in their hearts then, and they wanted people to be free, which is a hell of a lot more than I can say of other nations that went, you know, for all of the left likes to preach about colonialism. I mean, the European nations that they so want to be like, you could argue that they practiced and spread colonialism and exported colonialism way more than the United States and further than the United States ever did. So have a million seats. That was the basic nature of it. And you can go back and don't take my word for it. Go back and read. Go back and read the discussion in the Federalist Papers of George Mason and Hamilton and read the discussions, read the letters and the correspondence, because Washington talked about this at length. And when I hear people say and try to brush them off as there's no nuance, these people are just evil because this is the situation at the time, they ignore what was happening in history and they ignore everything that the founders were doing, even fighting with each other in order to make this possible for the future. So no country has a perfect creation. There is, if perfection were required to make laws, if perfection were required to hold any kind of elected office, if perfection were required to be a participant in society, not a single human being on earth would be fit. The end. And don't be like, well, your sin's greater than my sin. Don't make me open up my New Testament and hit you over the head with it. For real. Like, we will go back to my Sunday school days. Let's not. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent, but I hear her say this kind of stuff, it brings up this. You can't appeal to people that you've been vilifying. You know, they have been vilifying the founding. They have been vilifying the founders. They have been ignoring everything that I just said. And look, history's dirty and messy. And every country has its sins. Every single country does. But they were ignoring this to try to delegitimize the founding of the country by casting every single founder as, I mean, please note that they completely include John Adams in all of this, and John Adams never owned a slave. They tried to delegitimize the founding of the country by the actions and the behaviors and the structure of whatever government society at that particular time, and say that you should also feel the same as they do and disregard the founding because of these things. But yet they'll go out and make this appeal to those very same things and people and institutions when they're trying to argue for the removal of the filibuster to nationalize elections. Interesting. Interesting. All right. So a few other things here that I want to make sure we get into. Okay. We got to talk about the whole tennis situation with the vax and everything. Did you see this? I don't back this blue. Anti-vax protesters were arrested because they were trying to go to Times Square's Olive Garden. When you're here, you're here. Infinite stick at Olive Garden. Four people were arrested after a group of anti-vax protesters staged a sit-in at the Olive Garden. It was open? Olive Garden, right?
Yeah.
The Olive Garden.
Yeah.
And they were not getting in anyone's faces like you've seen some of these other protests at restaurants. They did not get into anybody's face. They weren't doing any of that. And they were taken into custody. One of them was playing F the Police by NWA on a loudspeaker. Was it a boombox? Really needs, I mean, I'm just curious. And apparently they've targeted the Cheesecake Factory. Like, why y'all? Why pick those restaurants? Olive Garden and Cheesecake. I don't go to Cheesecake Factory anyway because they are anti-gun. They have a nationwide anti-gun policy. And I'm like, there was a woman who got robbed in the parking lot, literally right behind the Cheesecake Factory in my town. And there's no security out there, and it's poorly lit. And they were like, and that's the only where you can park, only place you can park to go in the Cheesecake Factory. There's no other parking, legit. And I'm like, hell, if I'm going to be not protecting myself, I don't want to get raped for some cheesecake. I mean, we're not doing this. Sorry. So I don't mess with Cheesecake Factory. I don't. My cheesecake's better anyway. So I don't. But I don't feel bad that they did a sit in a cheesecake. Do it more. I feel like I want to donate to their bond. Honestly, they didn't do nothing. They weren't like in anybody's face. They didn't go up and scream and knock people's dishes and stuff over. But I don't back the blue that enforces any of these vax mandates. Hell no. It's not a universal statement. I back the blue enforcement of constitutional laws things that are not violations of individual liberty. Anything else? No. It's not a pass. It's not a get out of jail free pass. It's not the Uno wild card. No. So all of this, then we have this situation with the tennis guy, Djokovic. Let me pull this up. So Novak Djokovic and his entourage, they left Australia. They landed in Dubai. Can we get this audio soundbite? This is the Australian, whoever the hell this chick is. Yeah, they're banned. They're banned for 3 years now. Listen.
That's the outcome of the process that went before the federal court and their determination. So the visa was cancelled by Minister Hawke. That cancellation was upheld by the federal court. So as a result of that, he will be banned from entry for 3 years into the country. Now, there are some compelling reasons that may be able to be looked at, but that's all hypothetical at this point. Any application will be reviewed on its merits.
There are no merits. There are no merits. So Djokovic, who as I understand, I don't watch tennis, is the number one tennis player in the world. And so he was able to go to Dubai. Now he might be dropped out of the French Open, as I understand. Denied he was, that's just crazy. Here's what I don't, is this the first case of an athlete being banned without doing drugs or for not doing drugs? Right?
Sounds like it to me.
He didn't do drugs, so he's banned.
Yeah, and also there's still a push to have the Olympics in China.
Yeah, so we can have the Olympics in China. You can imprison 1 million Uyghurs, but What? That's...
Can't be choosing for your own health.
And they're saying, and I've seen some people say that he's selfish, etc. Didn't he already? He already had it. He already had the Rona, right? Why are they getting mad about him because he doesn't want to get vaccinated when he already has natural immunity? And the vaccination, they tell us, doesn't do anything against Omicron anyway. Isn't that like saying, well, take this birth control, but it's not at all going to prevent birth or pregnancy. It's not going to prevent pregnancies at all. Go ahead and keep taking it anyway, though. And if you don't, then, I mean, it doesn't, you could apply this to a million different things. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would you continue doing something if it doesn't work? We'll talk about this more here coming up. It's just crazy to me, this whole thing. I don't want to go to Australia. It sounds horrible. I had a friend who asked, is there any place that's more against freedom? Any other major world country that is more against freedom right now? Maybe, I mean, Australia, Austria, all the Austria kind of countries are really bad right now. You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be two times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
If you make a mistake or don't quite hit the mark, does that mean you're a bad person? Pastor Alan Jackson doesn't think so.
One of my favorite parts of the Bible is that all of our heroes have flaws. And there's nobody in there that the story's not told about.
Yeah.
And when I hear Christians stand up, because I've been married 63 years and I've never been mad at my wife, I think either, well, you're too stupid to be aware or you're lying to me, because life comes with challenges.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So this was sad news. The Hill had this story. Charles McGee, member of the Tuskegee Airmen and an American hero, has passed away at age 102. You might remember he was at one of the State of the Unions, and he was acknowledged by President Trump, then President Trump, and Charles's grandson was there with him. It was pretty amazing. Brigadier General Charles McGee, a member of Tuskegee Airmen, he had over 400 missions during World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. And he was one of the 900 men that trained in Alabama from 1940 to 46 and the Army Air Corps admitted them after a fight, according to the AP. American hero, absolutely. 102 years old. Pretty amazing. More law enforcement feloniously killed in 2021 than in any year in four decades. Now, there's a couple of reports on this. Crime Data Explorer has the tally for it, but they said that more police officers were killed in 2021 feloniously than any year since 2011. It's the highest total recorded by the agency since 1995, excluding the 2001 terror attack. 73 killed officers killed in 2021, almost a 60% increase compared to the 46 officers killed in 2020. So sad, sad indeed. We have a lot more. Stick with us. The Vax Fight next. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, that everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit Legacy, letter P, letter M, investments.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at DanaLash.com.
Nobody cares about. Nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs. Okay, you bring it up because you really care, and I think that's nice that you care. The rest of us don't care. I'm just telling you a very hard.
Wait, you're saying you personally don't care?
I'm telling you a very hard, ugly truth. Okay, of all the things that I care about, yes, it is below my line.
Oh.
Okay. Of all the things that I care about, it is below my line.
Oh my gosh! So that is one of the owners of the Warriors. He's. Oh, man. His name's Chamath. And he says on his Twitter bio that he's the owner of the Warriors. Let's be real. He's a partial owner. Okay. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, DanaLash.com. This dude is here on, he's doing this interview, and he questions whether or not China's actually carrying out genocide. Then he says the CCP isn't really, that they're not really communists, and nor are they, well, they're not a dictatorship. They're communists. And he says the U.S. is no better than the CCP. I am made of fire about this dude. So, wow. Wow.
That Chinese money for basketball is pretty strong.
And to do this on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday too, because I know that's very important timing and that for the left, is just absolutely fascinating. Holy wow. Now, this he's not the first NBA dude, one of the owners, to say, I mean, we've gone through this before. This was just like an incredible soundbite. Nobody cares about, oh man. Just underneath the line. Like what? I mean, at least he's, you know, being honest and kissing CCP butt. There you go. It's a basketball game compared to human rights. Feels like that should be obvious. Donald Sterling. Remember when they came after him? That was over Hong Kong. There is this really, there is this big, this, I look, I'm a free market capitalist, but I also do think that there are these like corporate entities that can become bigger and more influential than the countries in which they're in, with no loyalty to anything except themselves. That's a reality. And you can believe, as I do, and then also recognize the existence of some of these entities. Good heavens. As if the NBA didn't have enough problems, by the way. Good grief. They really want to make sure that they can maintain that access to communist Chinese cash. How many social credit points do you think that this guy earned from that? I'm just curious. Is there just, I'm just wondering if there's just like this big totalitarian leaderboard somewhere in CCP headquarters where he just went up, you know, a whole bunch of points because of this. This is crazy. Now we're hearing that the bird flu may be the next pandemic. China reports 5 new human cases of H5N6 bird flu. Good grief. There's going to be a lot of flus and viruses and everything else. Of course there is. We're still having this fight over masking and mandates. So, for instance, Glenn Youngkin, he's made, I was talking to Steve about this off air. He's got a family member who teaches, and they're able to now not have to wear a face panty for the first time in 2 years to teach elementary school kids, which is, that's amazing to me, especially the younger the children are, the more important it is for them to be able to pick up on facial cues of their teachers. And also, they're still perfecting grammar. They're still perfecting pronunciation. These are all things that are incredibly important, and these masks are a hindrance. Schools are some of the safest places for people to be because children, the receptors in their respiratory systems have not hit that maturation level as adults have done. This is one of the things that we discussed early on. And also the tracking of this virus proved from the get-go, and this came out of New York, that the schools are not these hotbeds of virus transmission. Actually, the number one place they looked at New Jersey, they looked at Maryland, New Jersey, and New York, and there was another state that I can't remember. But they said, actually, believe it or not, grocery stores were apparently like the biggest the areas of transmission. This was back in the early days before Delta. And they said that schools were not hotbeds of transmission. And they looked at I don't know how many thousand schools up in the Northeast, and it was like 0.01%, if that, that of transmission rate, and that transmission rate were adult teachers who were getting it from private, like in-home gatherings, and then going to school. It wasn't actually the kids that were getting it, and so they I don't know why the science changes with a milder variant. But they've never been hotbeds of transmission, areas of transmission. I was actually surprised that it was grocery stores. I'm not sure why. But especially, I just thought it would be something else. I don't know. But the worldwide fatality rate, 10? Glenn Youngkin, he was very, very busy his first day. He had 11 executive actions that he signed on day one. The left is so mad right now. You wouldn't believe the collection of hit pieces. They 11 new executive actions on day one. He's doing exactly everything that he said he was going to do. There's not a single thing. They removed critical race theory from schools. By the way, you know what they found on the Virginia's Department of Education website? The phrase critical race theory several times, literally on the DOE in Virginia's website. So stop saying that it's not critical race theory when they're specifically literally saying, quote, critical race theory, end quote, on the website several times. So the first one, it removed the divisive concepts that have nothing to do with academics, and that was the critical race theory. The second one was masks are optional in schools. The third one was had to do with terminating the current parole board, selecting 5 qualified members for the board, and reviewing board procedures. Then there was the fourth one. They're looking at sexual assault at the Loudoun County Public Schools that they say was handled wrongly. They found out there was another assault, and when they did a psychological examination of the perpetrator, they said that he was incredibly disturbing, like more so than anybody that they've come across. He declared Virginia open for business and fighting human trafficking and forced labor, working with anti-trafficking nonprofits. Then he established a commission to combat anti-Semitism because there have been some anti-Semitic incidents, to say nothing of what happened in Colleyville with the terrorists that came from Britain. And then withdrawing Virginia, this is 9, from the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative to protect businesses and ratepayers from rising costs. And then they had, he had a couple of executive directives, cutting regulations by 25% to help jumpstart the economy. And he said these regulations are not mandated by federal or state statute. So why do we have them? Federal or state statute don't cover them. And then the second executive directive, making total 11 directives, removing vaccine mandates for all state employees. So good for him. He's been busy. He was, by the way, sidebar on this, the left went at him for how he was dressed. I don't know anything about Glenn Youngkin. So at his inauguration ceremony on Saturday, he was dressed in what you would call a morning coat, M-O-R-N, a morning coat. And someone was asking if he knew Doc Holliday, and, you know, he was wearing gloves. He was dressed like, I think this is just, look, I'm going to say this because I have black or white. I have seen Southern gentlemen dress appropriately. If it is a formal morning event, you wear a morning coat. It's a specific type of neckwear with your jacket. It's a specific kind of jacket. And then there's a appropriate neckwear that goes with it. I have black and white. I have seen Southern gentlemen do this. It's a thing. And I think I love it. I love proper clothing, tailored clothing. I love to see it. So they were mad because he was like, he had his vest and he was dressed. I mean, I love that. Bring back that kind of dress. I love it. It's goth AF. I love it. So, of course, you know, I was going to like it for that. But he's doing what he campaigned to do. And so then he's been totally open with it, about it with the press. He was answering all of these reporters' questions at his press event after the inauguration. And Axios was mad that he was answering questions. Glenn Youngkin is running to all the press. No, he literally had a press event as a part of his inaugural process, which is customary for literally anybody. And he answered everybody's questions. He didn't run away from it. I realize that the media is not used to seeing that from the current president, but this governor, he said he was going to do something during the campaign. His day one in office, he did it. Kept his promises. And then he answered, he was totally transparent about it with the media. Why are you so mad? It's like, are you trying to get people to become Republican? Like, what in the world? Very busy first day. Very, very busy first day. And good for him. So some of the other things that we're looking at, I got to tell you about this story with wokery. Microsoft Word, this is not a joke. I mean, it is, but not like for real. Microsoft Word apparently has introduced a woke feature for your language. Have you heard about this? No. Now, you know that they have the, you know, like spell check and things of that nature. Do you remember the paperclip that used to pop up in old school? Can I help you with that? So they have a new feature that is going to suggest politically correct alternatives to gendered language. Oh, I'm for real. And so, for instance, if you say, I guess, postman, they will say like mail carrier or postal worker. I mean, that's just like an example. I know. This isn't the first time. They tried to filter swearing, Microsoft 365, according to the register.com. They tried to filter swearing and bad behavior. And then the senior executives during a video presentation introduced themselves by citing their race and gender pronouns. So they had marketing manager Nick Fillingham saying, quote, I'm a Caucasian man with glasses and a beard. I go by he, him. Oh, nobody cared. Nobody asked. So, man, there's a way to have fun with this. So that's what they're doing. Crazy. People are crazy. It's even down to now your grammatical suggestions. What are your grammar, your gender, like your gender bias? Gender bias is not a grammatical situation. Stop it. It's not. Gender bias is not a grammatical classification. Shut up. It is not. This is crazy. We are turning into idiocracy. We're there. I say this a million times a day, but we are there. I don't really use Microsoft, so I'm happy that I don't have to deal with this. Really don't. Goodness. That's not a grammatical thing. It's rewiring how people think. Don't let your kids use Microsoft. That's another reason. Now I'm just... We have a Florida man on the way you don't want to miss. As we get moving on, folks, our friends for this portion of our program, CarShield. Cars are so expensive.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I love that Elastica song, by the way. I can play that song. I can play it on the guitar. It's not different. Yeah. I know I can, yeah. Hey, if you need power chords and that and simple rhythm, I'm your girl. There you go. All right. So I got a few things here. Because Florida, you know what? Honestly, I want to go on this whole, I want to do a whole segment on RV life. Or what do they call it in Britain? Not camper. What is it? I can't think of the name for it. My brain's all of a sudden decided to get fried. Caravanning. They call it caravanning in Britain. And and apparently the Airstream is like the be all end all. And I was watching, Grand Tour. And I think it was Richard Hammond that covered his entirely in foil to make it look like an Airstream. And it looked ridiculous, but also better than it had previously. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff. All right, so this, I say this because I've been watching this show about RV parks in Florida, and I'm fascinated now. And I get it now. I think I do get it. So you remember the story of this was the buoy that was by Key West. They, like, the southernmost point of the United States in Key West. And they had a Christmas tree. And someone set it on fire. Everybody remembers this story, right? So now, apparently, they figured it out. They figured out who the culprit was. A bartender's tip led to the arrest, right? Make sure you be tipping your people well. You take care of the people who take care of you, okay? A tourist made a very big impression in Key West. They ordered drinks thrice on New Year's Eve, didn't leave a tip. That enabled staff to easily track the dude down after police released the webcam video showing this dude was one of the vandals setting fire to this Christmas tree. It cost over $5,000 in damage to the city's landmark buoy. It's this thing where it's a huge thing and it says 90 miles to Cuba, southernmost point, continental USA. The bartender, Cameron Brady, had watched the video, recognized the 21-year-old man who stiffed him at Irish Kevin's on Key West's famous Duval Street. Said, I knew immediately that I served him, that he used a card, and his name would be on the slips, he told the Herald. So they turned in the recordings from all the cameras of the bar around the bar. They matched the credit card receipts, got the dude, him and his 22-year-old friend. He was arrested. And so they said that that the guy made a mistake. He's, you know, basically young and dumb. He made a mistake. I hope that they learn from it. Also, don't stiff your bartender. Never, ever stiff your bartender. Why do you hate yourself? Would you do that? Jiminy. Be like the type of tipper that when they see you coming, even if there's a crowd of people, you get served first, right? That's how it should be. All right. I'm just saying, you take care of people, take care of you. So I have a million other things, including, ooh, goodness, a Florida woman. I can't say this story. Several of you sent me a story that I'm not taking the bait to read on air because it's so bad. All right, stick with us. Third hour on the way. We got Stephen Yates joining us. Don't go anywhere.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Yeah, 9 issued patents all filed in 1989, all covering this technology, including the initial reduction to practice, all with my name on them. I would call that the original inventor, and I wrote the initial disclosures, Alex. That was a low blow. In terms of ivermectin, okay, a colleague of mine just came back from Uttar Pradesh. It's widely used in Uttar Pradesh, and they have flatlined their disease. So both of your statements are going to fail with the test of time, but that's not this discussion.
Mm. So that was Dr. Robert Malone, who's going to be joining us later this week, who got into a big fight with Alex Berenson, apparently. And people hate him, too. People, I don't know. This is so ridiculous. Welcome back to the show. Good to be with you. It's our third hour of our program, DanaLash.com. Sign up for my newsletter, Chapter and Verse. And so Alex Berenson, who is not a doctor, was going after Robert Malone and said that he lied. He accused Malone of lying about inventing mRNA vaccines, which I don't understand why Berenson would do something like that, because a lot of people, I don't know, there are people on the right that think Berenson's a quack, and then there are people who think that he's legit, and I want to follow where the facts are. Can we not get involved with personalities, and can we just follow what the facts are? Because then you make mistakes like thinking somebody like maybe Alex Berenson is infallible. When we focus on personalities over facts, then people excuse the mistakes that other individuals make because we're treating them as an icon instead of just an infallible person, or a fallible person rather. So I'm not quite sure what Berenson's point was in this, because that's easily disputed, easily and easily proven wrong. You realize that you can go to USPTO and you can do a patent search, right? So I'm not quite sure why anybody would accuse Malone of not being an inventor of mRNA tech. He holds part of a patent on it with a couple of other doctors. Why in the world would you say otherwise? Before I even had him on the show, that's one of the first things that I did. And USPTO, it's all public. I mean, this stuff is hidden on the thing that they call the internet. It's very easy to go and look and see who has what patent and when it was given. The priority date, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he has that. I mean, he's got the patent on it. In fact, one of them was let me pull this up. One of it was this title on induction of protective immune response with DNA sequence. It's pretty sciencey. I mean, I could sit here and read all of this, and I'm going to be real with you. I don't even know what some of this stuff means. But it's mRNA, it's on mRNA, every aspect of coding for NEF protein. I mean, for real. But he has a number of patents on this. And that accusation is disputed by a lot of doctors who were involved in it. I mean, there's there like for this one was 3/21/1989. Date of issue is 1/6/04. Priority date was 3/21/89. Expression of exogenous polynucleotide sequences in vertebra with mRNA. I mean, there's a ton of those. Generation of immune response to pathogen with mRNA. I mean, over and over and over and over and over and over, there's a ton of these when you go to USPTO and you can search for who holds what patent. And so the accusation, Berenson's accusation and what he said to Malone was just not accurate. It was not accurate. Now, and I don't think Malone ever said that he singularly was the inventor. He worked with other doctors, and that's reflected on the patent's issuance. But there's only like a couple of other people. So that doesn't discredit him either. So I'm not quite sure what the end game is on this, but Berenson's going to hurt his credibility more than he's going to hurt Malone's credibility. And I just think that that's a stupid hill to plant a flag on, or try to anyway. Good grief. It was just a weird exchange. A very weird exchange. Now, I told you, what is it? I guess the first day we were back, I had said that there's going to be a major push for kids and N95 masks, and we've been going back and forth with the vaccine stuff. I'm not in SHOT Show this week because of the masks. And it's not NSSF, and I want to be very clear. National Shooting Sports Foundation, which puts on SHOT Show, and if you don't know what SHOT Show is, it is an industry exhibition from firearms manufacturers and people who are create products that are related to firearms manufacturing, like optics, you know, everything. And it is an industry insider show. So you it's not open to the public, and it's held in Vegas every year. And it's a way to see what's coming. They also have media day where they all go to the range and they shoot all the stuff that's like brand new. And it's always at the Venetian, which Adelson, after he passed away, Venetian is under new ownership now. And I'm worried because Venetian, I always love the Venetian. Venetian Palazzo, I don't stay anywhere else. I'd love it. And of course, you know, also the wind's real nice too, I have to say. But there's this mandate in Nevada for masking. So at these public places, you have to mask. And the expo there in the Venetian, which is where all of this is, you have to wear your mask wherever you are in the expo. That's a problem, especially for somebody like me. First off, I have natural immunity. I don't need to wear no face panty. Secondly, even though I don't like broadcasting on Radio Rose because it's ridiculous. And I think it underserves everyone out who listens coast to coast. It's noisy and I can't stand it. I hate it. So we would always go off to a side room to where we could talk to people that we normally wouldn't be able to talk to. And also, you know, get into some other stuff as well. And because that's all at the expo, I would have had to wear a mask and broadcast with a mask on. That's not happening. And so Steve Sisolak, who is the governor, is using the gaming control board and the heads of their resorts there on the Vegas Strip. They are really going, and I've heard this from people who've already arrived in Vegas for SHOT Show. I've heard this from them too, that it is hardcore. They're going after people who don't have their masks on or even don't have their masks on correctly. And it is, and by correctly, I had a friend who said that he got yelled at by security at the expo, or actually right when he was walking in, because he didn't have his mask pinched around his nose. And he's like, I've had it. And this is silly. It is. And they've threatened to shut down exhibitors who don't go by the mask policy. And it's insane. But apparently they're very, very, they have a Nevada Gaming Control Board released the enforcement of it's enforcement of Emergency Directive 045. It went into effect December 29th, 2021. And that's what they're using as justification. There were a number of companies that have been at SHOT Show for over a decade, and they're actually not exhibiting this year. A number of them. So, and I'm not going because of this stupid thing. I'm not wearing a face panty on my head for 8 hours or more straight. Anywhere that you are unless you're in your room, you have to wear it. I'm not doing that. It's anti-science. These stupid masks don't work. And I've already had it, so I have natural immunity. You're not going to get it from me, and I'm not going to get it from you, so back off. This is so stupid. And so, I mean, it's hurting an industry. So I don't know. I'm just, yeah, there's no way in hell I was going to broadcast with the mask on. So that's why I'm not there. And I'm not judging people who go, because some people, look, don't be casting no shade on people who go and have to and wear a mask, because some of these people, their livelihoods depend on it, especially when you consider the state of the economy and everything from these lefty shutdowns. So I'm all for people's personal decisions. I'm not for being forced to do anything. And it sucks because we always enjoyed it. I did my appearances there, and, you know, I'm able to see people that I'm friends with, and it just, and there are a lot of people out there saying that this is their last SHOT Show because of this. And again, it's not NSSF, which has been, NSSF is one of the best organizations out there, and they've really stepped up in the absence of some good advocacy lately. And they have been the ones holding the line. You don't read no headlines about them. But they're at the mercy of, you know, this gaming board now. And Steve Sisolak, unfortunately. So I don't blame them either. Man, come to Dallas, y'all. Come to Dallas next year. Jiminy. So there you have it. I tell you. Also, I got a couple things. There's a few things. Let's just switch it up here a little bit, because we're going to get into some of the latest with foreign policy with Russia, etc. But I also wanted to bring up this. This is audio soundbite 15. You can just hear it, and you can imagine how many people, based on what you're hearing, are in the streets. So in France, they have been protesting, and not just in France, in a number of countries around the world, there have been these major protests against these vaccine mandates. Now, you don't really hear a lot about it because it's not discussed. It's not something that is discussed as much as some of these other protests that you would hear about. This is in France, though. Listen to this. Tens of thousands in new protests. Protesting against vaccines. Tons of people livid over these mandates. Serbia, they were livid because of Novak Djokovic and what was done to him with the Australian Open, which now he's banned from Australia for three. If I was every other tennis player, I would say this isn't a real competition and you're not following science, and I would pull out. I wouldn't be doing this, which gets me. This is acceptable, or that isn't acceptable with regards to Novak Djokovic, but Beijing and the Olympics 2022, what the hell? Do you see this disconnect? Is it because they're communists and they're trying to butt kiss? I don't know. Some of these people, what is it? Howard Stern got real mad. Howard Stern is an old boomer who is out of touch, and he sounds like a hateful Karen. Someone said, well, he's a germaphobe, so that's why I'm a germaphobe, but you don't see me turning into a male copulatory organ, do you? No, you don't. All these people who are mad at Novak Djokovic, as I said, this might be the case, the first time I've ever seen an athlete banned for not doing drugs. No, I mean, normal. Isn't that usually how it goes?
True.
And all these people who are saying he's selfish, he's had coronavirus. He has natural immunity. Mind your own business. Why is everybody trying to flex so hard with this virtue signal?
And does he somehow not have a right to be selfish if that's what it's boiled down to? I mean, honestly.
The right to be selfish. Something to that. It's actually not selfish. It's not selfishness. It's the right to common sense, which is something that we used to encourage.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/radio, and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right, so this LADA, this is crazy. This is part of that, I guess, soft on crime thing. The woke LADA George Gascon says he doesn't want to send the man who identifies as a woman and is 26 years old, who sexually assaulted a 10-year-old girl when she was when he was 17, to adult jail over fears that he'll be attacked because of his gender identity. So in 2014, a 17-year-old male named James Tubbs attacked a 10-year-old girl, followed her into the bathroom of a Denny's in Palmdale, California. And since then, after he sexually assaulted her and only stopped when someone walked into the restroom and scared him off and he ran away. He was 2 weeks away from turning 18 at the time, and now he identifies as a woman, and the LADA will not sentence him as an adult because of it. And he says that he's worried about him getting attacked because of his gender identity. I would be more worried about this dude attacking other children. And if he's attacked after he tried to target a child, I look at that as a perk of the system, not a bug. Stop defending child predators unless you want to be viewed and categorized accurately as allowing their behavior and supporting it. We got to have some guidelines about this. This is insane. Also, Microsoft discloses a malware attack on Ukrainian government networks. So there were a lot of attacks on Ukraine's numerous networks, actually. And they said that a lot of their government was offline. Was it Russian? Does a bear you know what in the woods? I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, it seems like it's obvious. We're going to talk about this with Stephen Yates here coming up. Andrew Giuliani was hit in the face with a flower pot near Penn Station. The GOP gubernatorial candidate and the son of former Mayor Rudy Giuliani witnessed, he said that a couple was having a violent confrontation. He thought that a man and a woman, and he was attempting to help the woman, and he got hit in the face with a large flower pot. He goes, I think it was intended for her, but it hit me. He goes, thankfully, it was plastic and not clay. Who has a random flower pot when they're just like arguing? That was my first thought, was how does that happen? Stephen Yates joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
We're also coordinating with the private sector, companies like Microsoft, both in Ukraine and here in the United States, in case there are potential cyber attacks that unfold in the coming months here. Of course, it's possible that Russia could conduct a series of cyber attacks. That's part of their playbook. They've done it in the past in other contexts. We have not specifically attributed this attack yet. Neither we nor some of the key private sector firms have attributed it, but we're working hard on attribution.
That's Jake Sullivan discussing how part of a big chunk of Ukraine's own government was actually taken out in some kind of malware attack. Could it be Russians? Most likely. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you this Monday. And of course, this comes right after a really weird headline that I saw last week with regards to all of this. Russia was accused of trying to stage a false flag attack on troops as a pretext to invade Ukraine. And apparently, this was U.S. intel on this, I've never seen a headline like this before. And I thought, oh my gosh, we've got to talk to our friend Stephen Yates about this. And you all know Stephen Yates, foreign policy expert. He worked in the Bush administration. You can find him on Twitter at YatesComms. Stephen, always so good to see you. Happy Monday. A lot of stuff to unpack here, but I was really floored by this headline because I've never seen anything like this where we just openly say that, well, we have intelligence that Russia's going to attack itself as a false flag attack, blame Ukraine, use that as the pretext to invade. Is that unusual to have a headline like this? That's the first part of the question. And then the second question is this legitimate?
Yeah, well, Dana, first, I think we have to establish some parameters here. I mean, really, if we're going to talk about the overthrow of a sovereign state on Russia's border, I have to say, of all the things I'm really concerned about in the world, this is below my line. Oh. I just am not. This is below my line.
When did you own part of the Warriors?
I'm just learning how to deal with the world courtesy of really wealthy part owners of sports franchises. And so I always thought that we were supposed to engage in the study of history and warfare and maybe some philosophy, but turns out we can really set some really cool priorities about what matters in the world if we just find out what an overly privileged tech person thinks is below my line. So that's just what I'm going to live by this week.
I feel like you have more to say about him, and I'm going to open that can up here momentarily. We're going to come to that.
My gosh. But, we've had this swirl around Russia and Ukraine for a long time. And, of course, it wouldn't be in the situation it's in now if we hadn't had the managerial excellence of the Obama-Biden administration that allowed a big chunk of their sovereignty to be swallowed up by the evil bear. And so the evil bear continues to be an evil bear. And it turns out that they are cyber maniacs and do bad things in the world. You got basically the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, then all those Al-Qaeda folk that are out there doing bad stuff in the cyber world. And so, turning the lights out on the Ukrainian government, no big deal, below my line. Especially for Jake Sullivan, who's clearly mastered every national security crisis of his 1 year in office, done a brilliant, brilliant job.
Yeah.
I think we're all concerned about what happens with Ukraine, and is Russia trying to sort of set up a crisis? Would a conflict actually play well for Russia? The darker parts of my concerns are that it might, because America clearly isn't just weak; it's like under the table crying in retreat right now.
We couldn't even pass sanctions against Nord Stream 2 last week. And interestingly enough, they used that Jim Crow tactic, a filibuster, to stop those sanctions against Russia for that.
It was really offensive.
Yeah.
I felt the pain of that procedural tactic. And I don't know. It's just astonishing how far from common sense and reality we are. Obviously, a long time ago, we should have been helping the Ukrainians be in a position to do more to defend themselves. That shouldn't be the end all and be all of it. But we should also have been urging, giving maybe some incentives to, or even some pushing on Europeans to do more to help the Ukraine and improve deterrence against Russia and all of that. When it comes to the cybersecurity and the vulnerabilities, yeah, maybe we ought to give some thought to borders, whether they are real land borders or cyber borders, clean supply chains, all these things. But I digress. These are all things that we have churned over for the last many years. And it turns out when you don't solve any problems, they get worse.
Yeah, it is below my line.
With Stephen Yates at YatesComs on Twitter. There was a great piece in New York Times. Sometimes broken clocks and all. Ukraine doesn't need the West to defend it. We need help preparing for war. I do think that Ukrainian government particularly recognizes that there's not going to be some great savior with NATO coming in, and they're really going to have to. I mean, this is really going to be something that's on their shoulders. Do you think that is it a merited argument to say that they should have at least been involved in the discussions between the British and American and Russian diplomats, or is it really just not something that they can be privy to, and it's really up to the kind of the United States to negotiate this? What is your, because that was lamented over by some of their government. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it obviously can't feel good to be a country that's in the crosshairs of a much more powerful neighbor, and the even more powerful neighbors that say they're part of the free world don't even want to include you in a conversation about your own well-being. If the United States or Europeans don't want to include the leadership of the Ukraine in the conversation, then that sort of signals, well, then you're going to take this on yourselves. That doesn't make sense, I think, politically among our polities. I mean, certainly in the United States, there is not a deep thirst for a new conflict to deploy our soldiers for multiple years going forward. I have a hard time believing there's a similar appetite among European constituencies. So, I mean, if you're not going to include them in the meeting, you're sort of taking ownership of the solution, which just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, completely. I've got to get to what you talked about, what you hit on just a little bit earlier. One of the Warriors' owners, Chamath, and I'm not going to pronounce his last name, who was giving an interview, and he just came right out and said, we don't care about the Uyghurs detention. We don't care. It's below my line. I just don't care. Kane played some of that. Play that again, that audio soundbite. Because this was stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs, okay? You bring it up because you really care. And I think that's nice that you care. The rest of us don't care. I'm just telling you a very hard.
You personally don't care?
I'm telling you a very hard, ugly truth, okay? Of all the things that I care about, yes, it is below my line.
Clearly, it's below an NBA owner's line. I feel like, what's his face? David Sterling. Someone said he should get a mulligan because of this. I've got to get your reaction to this because I'm floored and I'm just floored. You clearly are. You're simmering here. So go off, sir.
No, it's just unbelievable. I do hope people will go watch this video. It's very brief, but the unsufferable, unbearable smugness of the way it's delivered is really like an 11 out of 10 on a normal scale. And just the eye deadpan looking at you like, you idiot. How could you possibly think that a genocide against Muslim minority in one of the world's major nations is even something that's really happening? And oh, by the way, it gets worse. He goes on to basically say, and you know, the United States is no better than China, and the Chinese Communist Party isn't really communist, or it's not really a dictatorship. And I'm thinking, wow, there must be some real rarefied air in COVID lockdown Palo Alto or wherever this dude hangs out. Because he clearly has not been to China's Northwest, has not checked out what's going on over there, but he pretty much just says the quiet part out loud. He doesn't care. He's just in it to be him. And I don't know, I guess it's proof positive that you can have a lot of money and you can apparently run some companies and still we're left way far back on the brain drain. You cannot think for yourself. And if you don't really even care for humanity, then what are you going to do with this money you accumulated? I mean, really, you have all this. You're just going to eat it? If you're going to have these resources in abundance, in the numbers that ordinary people can't even count, you should be caring and serving other people with it. So this guy is broken in any number of different ways. I hope people will watch him. If anyone deserves to be deplatformed, someone who says crap like this should get deplatformed, because we don't want to hear anything more from Mr. Smug.
Yeah, we're talking with Stephen Yates at YatesComs on Twitter. Last question for you, Stephen. I was comparing the reaction to, you know, Olympics in Beijing 2022, which we've talked about, to Australia's treatment of Novak Djokovic a guy who's had coronavirus. Everybody's freaking out. He's banned for 3 years. You can't do that. Tennis is being very selective and about protocol and where they have the opens and how they're being operated. There's such a disconnect here. It's stunning to me. There's such an inconsistency that I think communism is the worst virus, I think, on the planet. But yet, and they're having another apparently breakout of some fever hemorrhaging. Nobody knows what they're dealing with. It's probably from some bat cave, from some crazy doctor that we funded through Anthony Fauci. I mean, let's just be real. I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that disparity there.
Well, I was never raised to really look to the world of tennis to guide what's happening in the world. But it turns out, I mean, we've got Peng Shuai, who was the lady who made the accusation in China against one of their top leaders involved in getting the Olympic bid to go to China. And she's disappeared. She's around. She's not around. And all of this focus on tennis, again, she seems to not be around. And then we've got the world leading player in tennis. And I hear that there's a great risk to every free republic in the world if a singles tennis player is going to come in and get on the court. I mean, there might be a risk to the ball boy or the side judge or something like that, but they can mask up. But the rest of the country, you got to lock them down because a tennis player is going to come in. I mean, all this does, it just makes it so that the nation that we came to love in Australia, thinking of them as kind of the good guy, bad guys we love, from prison rock territory to freedom loving Crocodile Dundee, that's not a real knife. Now we've got people who, no, we can't let anyone into our country. We're going to lock down forever. It's sad. But the most ironic thing out of it all is it's through the world of tennis that people are finally pulling the lenses back and can kind of see it clearly and go, oh my gosh, what is happening to us here?
Yeah, I used to think that the most dangerous thing in Australia, whether it was their, what is it, the world's most poisonous spider, what is it, that weird spider that they have, and then the gators and the dingoes that go after babies and everything else. I mean, everything in that country can kill you, but the government is apparently the deadliest. Pretty insane.
They're saving us from tennis, though.
Good
That's
heavens.
Where they're going to go down in history.
Yeah. Stephen Yates at YatesComs on Twitter. Always good to talk with you, my friend. Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this broadcast. I like the way he puts it.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Ah, little KMFDM. This song is so apropos for this topic. Welcome back to The Dana Show. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, I've developed an affinity, not for like vehicles so much as the people who talk about them. And I am now an expert on vehicles, having watched every single episode of Top Gear, the good one with Jeremy Clarkson and Richard Hammond and James May. Now, I came across this on Twitter, and I told Kane that I'm not going to be able to end the show today without spending this last segment making fun of this. Audi has made a tweet and tweet. They've made a tweet where they say progress in the workplace. Hashtag diversity and inclusion play a key role in any team dynamic. Therefore, Audi has introduced gender-sensitive language. In doing so, we open the door to more diversity of perspective, the ability to change and to learn. They've like invented gender-sensitive language? What the hell does gender-sensitive language have to do with a car? I'm just curious. And I made the remark that nothing says luxury like a company with a car many people can't afford due to inflation, lecturing people about gender language. It's like Audi decided to sit in a boardroom and come up with this fantastic earned media attention ploy. Are you too rich to be bothered by inflation? Here's a problem we made up that you can actually be bothered about. Gender language. I just simply can't buy a car unless I know what the car company says about gender language. Well, woman X, what X, RX, your X, pronouns X. It's like a new form of pig Latin, right? I mean, is it really luxury X if they don't X have X, gender X, language X? I just don't know X. Kane X, what do you think about Audi X?
Yeah, it's a worthless ploy, marketing ploy that's going to fizzle out like really quick.
It makes me think they're, and then they show all the, I mean, I don't know a lot about Audi. Audi X, excuse me. This sounds like rich people crap.
I do sometimes refer to my car as she, like, hey, she's running well today. Hey.
How dare XUX with your gender X language X. For shame, X. We're going to make more fun of this tomorrow because this is not enough time, X, to do this right now, X. Kane, today in stupidity,
it's like
X.
It's Pig Latin, but not.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. All right. It is Nancy Pelosi today. This is her referring to Martin Luther King. Listen to this.
In such a way that he has a monument on the mall along with Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all of them with tears in their eyes.
Oh, boy.
For the departure from our democracy.
Yeah, okay. What really they have tears in their eyes about is how Democrats implement a government that is pretty antithetical to the Constitution. So I think that's where their tears come from. I don't think Nancy Pelosi's hitting it on the head here, but
yeah,
she's been hit on the head, apparently.
Those are all slave owners, right?
Yep, all okay. Slave owners.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Mm-hmm, there you have it. Folks, that does it for us today. We're so making fun of Audi tomorrow. I'll be on Fox's Primetime, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. Make sure you tune in. Sign up for that newsletter where we're going to make fun of them some more. Have a great night. Make fun of stupidity. Ridicule's your friend.